Let us say a silent prayer. Hallelujah, amen. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, I lead him. Let us sing him 136. Sing him 136. Verse 1. Let us sing the next hymn, 185. Let us sing the next hymn, 185. verse 3. Sing the next hymn, 427. Sing hymn 427. Let us sing the last hymn, 428. Let us sing hymn 428. verse. Our hymnal session ends here. Hallelujah.
Let's all say a silent prayer. Amen. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we commence our afternoon Sabbath service. Let's sing hymn 47. Sing him 47.
Jesus, I come to thee.
give thanks to our Lord Jesus Christ that on this Sabbath afternoon, we are able to gather for this service online. So in our first prayer, we commit and entrust this service to the hands of Almighty God. May our Lord Jesus Christ guide us all. Shall we now, in the name of our Lord Jesus, kneel down to pray. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. In the name of our Lord Jesus, I speak. First and foremost, we give all the glory and praise to our Lord God in heaven that this Saturday, on this Sabbath day, we are all able to gather to worship the Lord God. And first and foremost, we give all the glory and praise to our Lord God. And also, we'd like to send greetings of peace to all our brothers and sisters, friends and relatives. And we believe that the blessings of God will come upon all those who worship God on this Sabbath. So this afternoon, the topic for mutual encouragement is worship God. Our lives are indeed very busy. We may also ask, why are we so busy? Sometimes we are busy for our lives. Of course, this also includes we who believe in Jesus, where we have the hope of entering the kingdom of God. So while we are living, then we must worship God. So worshiping God is the duty of every believer, and this is closely related to our salvation. So some may regard this as a burden. Yet if we can understand the significance of our worship, then this can change our attitude towards worshiping God. For worshiping God enables us to draw nearer to God, which in turn would enable us to experience more of God, then our lives will be different. Where worship God is not merely restricted to going to church for service or just attending online services, but in our lives, whether we do the things that are pleasing to God or not. For example, divine work or holy work. So our life of worship then becomes a part of our life. So this afternoon, we shall base on John chapter 4 to discuss about this issue of worshiping God. Where in the first half of this book, it records of the conversation between Jesus and the Samaritan woman, where he discusses about living water and the matters of worshiping God. First of all, let's turn to John chapter 4. Gospel according to John chapter 4, let's see verse 20. John chapter 4, verse 20. In the name of Jesus, I read, "Our fathers worship on this mountain, But you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. So here the Samaritan woman raised a question. Where men place a lot of emphasis on the location or the place of their worship. Let's see verse 21. John 4 verse 21. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father." So here we are to believe in the words of Jesus. And here in this verse also mentioned, the hour is coming. In fact, this term, the hour is coming, is mentioned twice in this passage. Where in verse 21 is the first time, and the second time is in verse 23. But the hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. So meaning that men need to grasp in our worshipping of God. It doesn't matter where we worship, but rather we need to worship Him in spirit and in truth in our heart. As recorded in verse 24, God is spirit and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. This does not mean it is irrelevant on where we worship God today. He does not deny, our Lord does not deny the importance of going to church to worship God. The Jews go to Jerusalem to worship Him, and the Samaritans go to Gerizim, and all the males, Jews, need to go to Jerusalem 3 times a year to worship God. And just like this Samaritan woman, she also needed to go to Mount Gerizim. But the hour is coming. So the main point of worshiping God is made known even more clearly here. Some claim that it is not necessary to worship God in the church, but rather it is sufficient to worship God at home, because God looks at the heart and not the outward appearance. Let's turn to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16, we see verse 7. 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." So for God is not concerned about, or rather bother, where we worship God. Of course, these claims are not correct, because God looks at the heart and not the outward appearance. So this concept is not correct. But the Bible continues to tell us. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So here the scripture tells us we are not to forsake gathering together, to encourage one another as to stir up one another's love and good works. So this is the importance of having church services. Now we come back to John chapter 4. So there is a difference between having and not having services in church. Let's come back to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, we see verse 22. John chapter 4, verse 22. "You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews." So Jesus told her directly that you worship what you do not know. Meaning to say, although many outwardly, though they worship God, but they do not know who are they worshipping, or how are they to worship God in the correct way. And next thing, we can also see that worship and salvation is closely related, for salvation is of the Jews, as mentioned by Jesus here. Jesus came from the lineage of the Jews. Hence, in our worship of God, we must be very clear of the target of our worship today. We must worship the true God, that is Jesus Christ. We must grasp hold of this salvation as we believe in the Lord. If we believe in the Lord and at the end we do not have any salvation, then this worship is not of help to us. We thank God we have come to know Jesus, known salvation, and even accepted it as well. And today we are now living in His salvation, for we have received and obtained this redemption through His blood. We have been delivered from the sins of the world, and we have now entered into His church, which is His body. Therefore, in John chapter 4, verse 23, John 4, verse 23, "But the hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship Him." So in John 4:23, here the hour is coming is being emphasized again by Jesus, telling us to worship God, including those who worship God, is for His salvation. So if it is for our salvation, so what manner should we do so? Or how? What manner should they worship God then? So here it mentioned about the true worshippers of God. Is it that in the church there are true and false worshippers? Just like in the church, there also exist truly those who truly worship God and some who do not. Of course, we do not simply or randomly judge another. We must be very clear about this. Are we truly worshiping God? So one who had received salvation, how should they worship God? So in John chapter 4, verse 23, it tells us to worship God in spirit and truth. And if we look to the Chinese Bible, it tells us that we worship Him in the Holy Spirit and in truth, in sincerity. So it seems to refer to our heart and our mindset. That is to say, we need to be honest in worshiping God, as well as to be truthful in worshiping God. But in the English version, it seems that here it says, the Father wants us to worship Him in spirit, in the Holy Spirit, and in truth. And for the Father seeks those who worship Him in this way. Well, it says here, it's very clearly in verse 23, for the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. Let's come to John chapter 2. John chapter 2, this is an example of the explanation. Let's see John chapter 2 from verses 23 to 25. John chapter 2, verses 23 to 25. "Now when He was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in His name when they saw the signs that He was doing." 24. "But Jesus on His part did not entrust Himself to them because He knew all people." 25. "And needed no one to bear witness about men, for He Himself knew what was in men. Therefore these people came to Jesus. But Jesus," here it says, "He did not entrust Himself to them," meaning to say there was a certain distance between Jesus and them, because Jesus knew all men. Probably their motive to believe and follow Jesus was not pure. At that time, we know that during the time of Jesus, many people came to seek after Him, but many people do not have a pure motive before Him. Some came for the sake of having food. Some wanted to see miracles, and some even did not believe in Him, even though they follow Him. And some even betrayed the Lord. So this is something that we need to consider. So today, we have all come before Him. We are His believers. We thank God. So while worshipping God is a part of our life as a Christian, so how do we worship God? Do we worship Him in spirit and truth? For example, in services, we come to worship God. Are we those worshippers whom the Lord really sought after, seek after? Or only if when we worship God in this way, when we worship Him in spirit and truth, God will then accept. So what does it mean to worship God in spirit and in truth? So in our life, let us ask ourselves, do we live according to the truth? Are we in the truth? If we are not, then we cannot worship God in the truth. Look at the teachings of Paul. In our life, we must be led by the Spirit. Then only we would not do things according to our lustly desire or even our fleshly desire. We would then want to submit to God. So that is what we mean by to worship God in spirit and in truth. So service or holy work is also another form of worshiping God. In order to do or to complete the work or to enable it to be done, this work, it should not be a very difficult thing for us, because today we have a lot of talented and even capable brethren. So it should not be a big problem. However, in order to do it according to the will of God, according to the heart of God, though our service to God is to it means that we need to understand His heart, understand what is His will, then this is no longer an easy task. But if we continually pursue God and His truth, we constantly ask God for His guidance, we seek continually to even to renew ourselves in the service to the Lord, remove all the evil things, evil intentions, evil motives from our heart, then we will be able to serve God in truth and in the Holy Spirit. Another thing, this has to do with our faith, our object of belief. Let's see a few examples. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 1. The book of Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1 verse 9 and 10. Revelation chapter 1 verses 9 and 10. Verse 9. I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patience endurance that and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. Verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet. So in verse 10 here says, I was in the Spirit. Or in the Chinese Bible says, he was moved by the Spirit. So why was John on the island of Patmos? So he was actually persecuted for the word of God. And then in verse 10, he entered into a spiritual realm where he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he heard behind him a loud voice like a trumpet. So he entered into a spiritual realm. So there are a few main points over here. Where he is a brother and partner in the tribulation, kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus. So they are suffering for God's kingdom. They are being patient together to suffer together for the Lord. So now let's look at the sufferings of Jesus when he was on the cross. From being beaten, he was being mocked at, he was being spat at, he was even whipped at, until the point he was nailed on the cross. He endured all this. So why was he able to endure all this? Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. The book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So the suffering of Jesus, this refers to the suffering of the cross, where he bore the sins of mankind. So he suffered being separated from God in order to fulfill and complete the salvation plan of God. Therefore, our Lord Jesus actually suffered both physically, mentally, even in his heart too, for our sake. So, dear brothers and sisters, our Lord has suffered all this. For whose sake? It's for you and me, and for the people of the world. That's why if our Lord Jesus did not suffer on the cross today, dear brothers and sisters, you and I would not be able to be here in this world. What more to enjoy the grace of his salvation? So we must all the more appreciate and always to ponder, not only just on during Holy Communion, but even in our daily lives, we must always ponder about the great love and suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, there was once an author once said, what would Jesus do? So before we do anything, let us think, let us recall the sufferings of our Lord Jesus. So the patience of Jesus here is the patience of Jesus is related to the suffering of Jesus on the cross, because this is the work that our Heavenly Father had entrusted to him. This is the will of the Heavenly Father, which he did not disobey. So he endured this to the end and completed this task. So as a result, this resulted in our salvation. Therefore, our Lord Jesus Christ, for our sake, therefore he was able to receive all this. So at the end, we will be able to receive the salvation of the Lord. So this is the patience and endurance of Jesus. Let's come back to see Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14, verse 12. Revelation chapter 14, verse 12. Revelation chapter 14, verse 12. Here is a call for the endurance of the saints, those who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. So here, where does the patience and endurance of the saints come from? So here it tells us it comes from keeping the commandments till the end. So this is the patience of the saints as well as the patience of Jesus. In the book of Revelation, it also talks about the attack of the dragon towards the church. This attack is severe. However, if we observe his commandments and we have his testimony, then we would definitely be attacked. But while we are being attacked, if we are able to hold fast till the end, then we can endure to the end. John also has went or gone through such tribulation. That's why he was able to be in the Spirit. He has his reason and his preconditions. So in our life or even our journey of faith, when we talk about the truth, we must be able to hold on to the end. Only then we can say we are in the truth. Only then we can say we are in the Spirit, where we are preserving ourselves in the Holy Spirit. So these are the true worshippers of God. Now let's come back to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, we see verse 9. Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation, and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. Now we see verse 2. Who bore witness, Revelation 1 verse 2. Who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. So the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. So there are two schools of thoughts here, where one, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ are different, whereas the second school of thought is that the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ is similar. So we can also see this in Revelation chapter 12. Let's just see Revelation chapter 12, where this statement often occurs in the book of Revelation. Let's see Revelation chapter 12, verse 17. Then the dragon became furious with the woman and went off to make war on the rest of her offspring, on those who keep the commandments of God and hold on to the testimony of Jesus, and he stood on the sand of the sea. Then we again see chapter 14, Revelation chapter 14, verse 12. Revelation 14 verse 12. Here is a call for the endurance of the saints, those who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. Now let's also continue to see chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19 verses 9 and 10. Revelation chapter 19 verse 9 and 10. And the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. Verse 10. Then I fell down at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, you must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So here it talks about the testimony of Jesus, as recorded in verse 10. The testimony of Jesus. So it is the spirit of prophecy. In the lower portion says, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Meaning to say, this prophecy refers to, firstly, the Old Testament prophecy, prophecies in the Old Revelation, as well as it is related to our salvation. So let's see what Peter explained. Let's turn to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Acts of the Apostles chapter 10, verse 43. Acts of the Apostles chapter 10, verse 43. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. So here the spirit of the prophecy is explained here. So it has to do with our salvation, that is the forgiveness of sins. So when Peter preached to Cornelius and his household, he was moved by the Holy Spirit. So the spirit of the prophecy can only be found in the true church. Why? Because only the true church has the authority to forgive or remit sins. Only the church of God has the knowledge of the salvation of God. So because of all this, John has suffered. So in Revelation chapter 1, we have seen John was given this testimony. So if we truly want to worship God, we must hold on firmly to the precious truths of the Bible. Only then we are truly worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. We know that the Holy Spirit and the truth are inseparable. These are actually two sides of the coin. If we can keep the truth, then at the same time, we are also keeping ourselves in the Spirit as well. Then we are able to truly worship Him. And we believe that God is seeking those who worship Him in this way. And when we talk about the truth in the true Jesus Church, it can be divided into two major categories. Firstly, the general teachings. For example, Christian living. How are we to love one another? How are we to pass a victorious life? How are we to have faith in God? How are we to have hope in God? So all these are general teachings. The second one is the foundation of the church, where it's related to the gospel of salvation. This is very, very important. And this is related to the Ten Commandments and even the Ten Articles of Faith. So this is the endurance of the saints, that we are able to keep His commandments and able to keep to the faith. That is the truth of salvation. But we know the truth, both these two aspects must be equally emphasized. That is the general teachings about Christian living, about spiritual nurture and cultivation, together with the gospel of salvation. The truth, the Ten Commandments, the Ten Articles of Faith, all this must be equally emphasized. We cannot say that we have spiritual nurture, but we can do away with Ten Commandments. We cannot also just put aside these Ten Articles of Faith. We cannot say we only spiritual nurture ourselves, but we do not observe the Ten Commandments. We do not want to observe the truth. We do not want to observe the Ten Articles of Faith, the truth of redemption. Well, because we know that God will save us through this truth and through the church. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, if we truly worship God, then we must have this testimony as well as the Ten Commandments. So if we are able to keep these both, then we will be able to experience strength in faith. So whenever we encounter difficulties, we would gain strength and even experience the presence of the Holy Spirit. Just as in Paul, he has also gained strength in the Lord, even though as we read the epistles of Paul, especially in his prison epistles, he has also gone through a period of difficulty in the prison. But yet, in the prison, he was still able, together with his other co-workers, other apostles, they were able to sing joyfully, pray to the Lord God. Why? Because they know they have the strength of the Lord. They have experienced the peace, the presence of the Holy Spirit with them. So as a result, they were no longer fearful even when they were in the prison. Isn't this a very wonderful experience? Isn't this what we are looking for today? So today, this is the true worshippers that the Lord God is seeking. Therefore, spiritual nurture, spiritual cultivation is important. But we must not forget the foundation of the truth. Therefore, the Ten Commandments need to be observed in order for us to receive life in Him. So, dear brothers and sisters, let us once again be the true worshippers that the Lord God is seeking, to be one whom the Lord is worshipping. So finally, we can see what Jesus has said to us, that God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. And we also know the true worshippers of the Heavenly Father will worship Him in the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. So we pray that through this short encouragement of the scriptures, we will be able to know that we need to become the true worshippers of God, and we worship Him in spirit and in truth. We give all glory and praise to our Lord God in heaven. Now let's sing Him 53. Sing Him 53. 5-3. For God so loved the world of earth, He gave His only Son, to save, redeem, reveal His grace and love to everyone. I know that God is truly love, He pardoned even me, prepares my soul for life above. I know that God is love. His love so great erased my sin, though it was inky black. And I rebel against His will, His love has brought me back. I know that Lord is truly love, He pardoned even me, prepares my soul for life above. I know that God is love. The Son of God was crucified, hung on the cross for me. Oh, what a price He paid for man, what love and what donation. I know that God is truly love, He pardoned even me, prepares my soul for life above. I know that God is love. mercy is wide and deep, O sinners, hear his call. Believe in him without delay, you owe to him your all. I know that God is truly love, he pardoned even me, prepares my soul for life above. I know that God is love. We thank our Lord Jesus Christ. God is indeed love. Therefore, since God loves us, we should also observe his commandments. We should also worship God in spirit and truth. And we also know that through our worship of God, if it is acceptable to him, we will also be able to receive his blessings, his joy, his peace. So now we shall say our second prayer. So in our prayer, let us also give thanks to our Lord Jesus that on this Sabbath day, we are able to hear the word of God and once again to reconsider our worship to the Lord God. So and in our prayer, let us also continue to pray for one another, pray for our families, that our Lord Jesus will continue to preserve each and every one of us, especially in these hard times. And in our prayer, let us also pray for the church, we also pray for the nation. Shall we now, in one accord, in the name of Jesus Christ, kneel down to pray. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. What others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. One others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Amen. We thank the grace of our Lord Jesus. Our afternoon Sabbath service shall end here. May the peace and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with all our brothers and sisters. May all glory be given to his name. Hallelujah.